Today, we're going to be concluding the series, You Can Make a Difference series, that Pastor has been preaching about. And in the last sermon about the Jesus encounter with Samaritan woman, Pastor used the illustration about how we need to have spiritual eyeglasses to open our eyes to reach beyond our Judea. And today, I'll be sharing with you about how we need hearing aids to respond to God's call in our life. And there are three things for you to remember from the scripture passages that we read and the one that I'll be reading, that God is calling us to do three things. And this call is a full-time call. And he's calling us to be reconciled to God full-time and be his ambassadors full-time mission and to be his shining light. And so if you forget everything that I will say after this, that's fine. Just remember that we are called for those three B's, okay? Okay, and I'm going to read the scripture message with you from Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 to 22, and share with you about our experiences on the mission field and how God called us, and we've seen him calling other people to fulfill those three B's in their lives. Matthew 4, 15 Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This passage talks about how the people in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali were living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and how when Jesus had come with his message of hope and salvation, he describes it as a flood of light have been shed into their hearts and into their lives and turned them around. This land of Zebulun and Naphtali was the land that the Lord had called me and my wife to go minister in. We were living in Jordan at the time, and God has called us to go to the mission field, to Israel. And at the time, I had a flood of emotions, of fear and concerns, and saying, "God, I hope that you know what you are doing. Don't you know how much The Arabs, the Palestinians love the Jews. Don't you hear all about the wars and the enmity that is in between them? And yet, with my weakness, I trusted the Lord. And this is when Christ called these disciples, the emphasis in this passage about how immediately they obeyed the Lord. And by faith, they went, in spite of them being simple fishermen. He didn't call them from a religious leadership background, but he promised them one thing, that if you would obey and respond, I will go with you and I will use you to be a light to the nations. And we know the whole story. Read the book of Acts about how the Lord had used them because they responded. But I have, when we first went to Israel, I lived in my father's hometown, the city of Nazareth. And in Nazareth, our home was within walking distance from Mary's well and from that spring that feeds that well. And as we would walk down our neighborhood, we would pass as well a monument that was put out there for Hagar and Ishmael. And it's just like you feel the religious presence of all the different religions that were represented in this small nation and in this small city. And yet God has come and wanted us to break down our prejudices against the other people, against our enemies, against the people who might have persecuted us, and say, go and be my light and share the message of peace and the message of love. And we know one thing, and Martin Luther King Jr. said that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And your job and mine is to be that light, to go to lift up the fallen, to restore the broken, and to heal the hurting. The land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali was the crossroad for the business from the Sea of Galilee, which we visited and circled around so many times, and you read about the stories and the miracles where Jesus ministered in Capernaum and all that region, and it goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And that was the in and out of the Gentiles doing business into the land. And so Christ is calling these disciples to lift up their perception that they need to go to the land of the Gentiles as well, where they are living in darkness and they think that everything is fine, the business is good, but they need to see and hear that spiritual call of love and peace, and to come to know that there is a God who cares for them. And so the disciples, right away, they left their nets. Fishing is not a bad thing. We all like fish, right? And God is not saying don't fish, but what he's saying, I'm going to elevate your calling to fishing in the sea of land among men and women who need me and need to hear my love for them. And so we went to Israel, and God had beyond our imagination and beyond our capabilities, the Lord helped us to work with the many different ethnic groups, from the new immigrants who have come from the old Soviet Russian group speaking people, and with the Palestinian Arabs, and with the Muslims who are there. And we've seen how God was the only one who could bring peace in those relationship among those people, and how the children of Hagar and the children of of Sarah now, they can be together, united with one purpose, and to be a light to their brothers and to their families. And so continue to pray for those who are being obedient to the voice of the Lord and followed him in being a light. And here we have, we know that the mission is hard, the mission is difficult. Isaiah, the passage that we read, I can imagine him sitting in his recliner in his nice home, watching the news about what's going to happen after King Uzziah died, and probably catching up on whether the stocks went up or down, and probably catching the news about the latest sports team in their area. And he falls asleep, and he is brought into the presence of the mighty God in a vision, and he sees the angels that are ministering in God's presence. How many of us would like to see angels? That would be wonderful. And Isaiah has an angel story, but his focus and his message to us was not really about the angels, but it was about being in the presence of the mighty God, about seeing how these angels were bowing down before the majesty and the glory and the most powerful God who is sitting on his throne. And God, as if he's telling Isaiah, I am in control, no matter what happens. Isaiah, give us a glimpse in chapter 5, to what he has responded by saying, here I am, Lord, send me. In chapter 5, we have the song of the vineyard. It was a dear song. It was like a song that people would sing for the funeral of someone. Because God one day decided to come and walk among his people, among his vineyard, Israel, that was supposed to be a light to the nations. And instead, what he found was very disappointing. And it was something that deserves a judgment. And it was calling for a judgment. And in chapter 5, verse 8 through 25, he lists the sins that God found among his people. Lists like greed, drunkenness, defiance against God, perversion of justice, materialism, no regard for God, the pursuit of pleasure where moral perversion, where good is called evil and evil is called good. And God was saying, there is no reason for this because I have been to you a good father. I have been to you. I have done everything possible that this garden needed to bring good fruit. And yet they were living as if God does not exist and doing all these things. And yet Isaiah must have gone through the same feelings I went through when God called me to go to Israel. Like, God, you're sending me on this impossible mission. Who would go to such dark place? How can I, if they're not listening to you, why would they think they listen to me? I'm so unqualified. And yet God saw the need that Isaiah was among those people. He probably was a little bit like them. And he needed that the angels will come with a hot coal to touch his lips, which signifies that he's being purified in his message and in his heart. And he repented before the Lord. And then he responded, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And so he Isaiah experienced this message that was given to him from God, and he realized that now he has a new life, he has a new purpose. God had lifted his eyes beyond what he could see and what God has to him. And so he cries out and he says, "Woe to me." He pronounced judgment on himself as if he's saying, "God, please forgive me. God, come and cleanse me." And that's the kind of people that God can use when he calls us in times of darkness and times of crisis. And so, so Isaiah went, and he was a preacher, not just of judgment to the people, but also he had a message as an ambassador for God, a message of hope, because there was still another about 140 years for the Babylonians, for the Assyrians and the Babylonians, whom God was going to use to bring judgment, for Isaiah to bring this message of hope and of peace to the people. And his message was, just as we read in 2 Corinthians, come and be reconciled to God. Come and restore your relationship with this God who loves you and cares for you. And so this message of reconciliation implies for us that if there is a need for reconciliation, that means there is an alienation. And the enmity and the alienation, there is no peace in a relationship. I don't know if anyone remembers or if anyone has an enemy. Have you ever dealt with reconciliation situation? I have so many stories I could tell you, but then I will keep you all day in here. But Christ could see the people living in darkness. He could see the enmity based on the list of all those sins. We could see it living in the Holy Land, that the list that Isaiah listed in chapter 5, they are in existence. People everywhere are who do not know the Lord are living in this condition. And God's heart, he wants to bring us to peace with God. In Romans 5, the whole 10 verses, he says, we have peace with God by the death of Christ. R.T. Kendall, in his book, Total Forgiveness, he says, God loves reconciliation. He gives us this ministry, and he wants us to pass it on. And when we don't pass it on, we interrupt the flow of it. And that's what was happening in Isaiah's days. The nation that was supposed to be a light, they were dull at hearing. They needed a new touch from God to revive them, to help them remember who they are in God and how they are meant to be a light to the nation. And so when we went to Israel and we lived in the city of Nazareth for some time, and then we moved on to Haifa on Mount Carmel, which is basically that covers that land of Zebulun and that extends from the sea to the sea. People have lived a life during wars and during enmity, during suicide bombing. We lived through the Gulf Wars and all those feelings and emotions, and yet we could see, even though we live among people that maybe they are killing each other or hating each other, yet we saw when God would come into the life of a person, how he wants to make peace now with his enemies. He wants to be carrier of light. The Arab would carry a light of the message of Christ to the Jewish person, or the Christian to the Muslim person. And so we could see how only in Christ, how the children of Hagar and the children of Sarah were able to come and be united together with one purpose and with one goal, and that is to bring glory to the Lord. And so when we experience this reconciliation with God, God lifts our vision, and our vision will change of who God is, and our vision will change of who we are and of the other people, in spite of what they have done for us or against us. And yet he says, go and be an ambassador. And he comes and he makes us a new creation. And this new creation is very interesting word, because he's not doing any remodeling in our lives. Those builders who are among us today, you get called to fix the plumbing, or to change the wiring, or to take the old floor and put a new floor in a building. But God is saying, no, that doesn't work when you start with me. I need to take down the whole old building and lay down the right foundation, and then I'm going to build the new house. And that's what he does in our lives. The old is gone and the new is here. And from now on, we are a new creation. It's not remodeling. He takes our sins far away from us, and he says, now I'm going to put you on a new start. One day, we had one of our students at the Bible school in Haifa. He's from Jerusalem, did not show up for class. And 2 days later, he comes back and I say, what happened? He said, well, I was in jail. I said, what happened in jail to you? Why, how did you end up in jail? He said, well, one night I was in the old city putting posters about a Christian event, and somebody stole a car, and the police went after our student because he has an old record. He was a drug dealer, he was a bad person, they have all these records about him. And they said he was in the city that night, so he must have committed this crime. And after they investigated, as they are releasing him, the police, they said, you know what? We know that you are different. You are new. You are no longer the same, because they could see that he was a new creation in Christ. And now he is ministering in Jerusalem and in the West Bank, and God is using him to be a shining light. And so God, when we make peace with him, he'll turn us around. He'll change our attitudes of prejudice, of superstitions, of animosity towards God and towards one another in our relationships. And then our heart becomes, we want to see good. We want to see people being exposed to this light, this flood of spiritual light that Christ brings into our lives. And so he calls us to be reconciled to him. And then he reconciles us to be an ambassador. Now, an ambassador represents Christ. And an ambassador is really important that he carries the message of the one who had sent him. And I love that he gives us this ministry. Imagine, how do you know that you have been reconciled with someone? Let me tell you a story. And this happened on the mission field. But I just want you to imagine. Imagine that your pastor right here at the church has worked with other pastors, taught them the word of God, entrusted them with ministry, and then they turned against him. And they became looking at him as he is their enemy. And then one day, you come, you want to go to church, and you see this big chain on the door where nobody is allowed to go in, but they have the control to the key to let people in. And so a year goes by, negotiations and trying to reconcile, and finally a reconciliation happens. And the first thing pastor would do, he will go to those enemies of his and he will say, here is a new lock. Here are the keys. You replace the chain with new doors and I trust you that you will keep the church door open. That's reconciliation. God, after he calls us from our enmity, he gives us a ministry. He said, we're no longer enemies, but we are partners. Now you are adopted as my son, as I'm my daughter, and I entrust you. That means there's no longer any enmity, but we are now together. Isn't that powerful, what God does? And this is the ministry that he has called us to do. And he would like us to be carriers of this message. Let me give you another illustration. I watch a program on PBS called Forces of Nature, and it was all about color. And the program was about in this paradise, in this forest, it's a jungle that is full of green trees. But there is this one plant that produces a red-colored fruit to attract birds. It is in this plant's interest for its fruit to be seen. If its fruits get eaten, its seeds is dispersed far and wide. So God wants us to be like that fruit, that tree where our fruit of being reconciled with God, of having this peace, to be seen by the world, to attract others so they can come and eat from it, and then they will go with it and spread it throughout the whole world, even in the land of the Gentiles, the Galilee of the Gentiles. So my message for you this morning, when God calls us, would we hear his voice? Would we say, here I am, Lord. I come to you in obedience and in faith. God wants to use us to be useful, to make a difference in this world. He elevates our thinking, our attitude towards God and towards others, so we can be fruitful. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you have called us to live a God-centered life and not a self-centered one. You call each one of us to make peace with you and with each other. Help us, Lord, to be quick in obeying and to follow your call as your disciples. May we be useful ambassadors of you in this world, bringing your message of hope and peace, so everyone that you send us to or bring our way will experience the light of your love and hope and peace. Make us an instrument of your peace, we pray. Amen.